All right, we're back now with the mayor of Salem, Kim Driscoll, and Madam Mayor, it's our usual, no, it's not our usual anything. How are you doing?
We're okay. You know, we're doing as well as can be expected, and everyone's doing their part.
I think that's pretty much the case across the North Shore and hopefully elsewhere as well. And I want to start with the most recent updates at Salem.com. There is a consistent update almost on a daily basis for COVID-19 information. And I think the most recent post was on Friday, and it has to do, I think, pretty much across the spectrum. Everybody is expected to cover your nose and your mouth now with a kind of mask. But what's the latest update from your point of view?
Yeah, earlier this week, the Board of Health passed an order requiring that anyone entering an essential business, that includes customers and employees, so that's grocery stores, pharmacies, any businesses that remain open, to have the facial covering on. The rule also applies to anybody picking up takeout food from a restaurant, to communal spaces, those common areas in building and commercial complexes, and really just addressed to cut down on the spread of the virus. The Board of Health felt it was important that this be an order, so it's not a recommendation, it's a requirement, and we're hoping everyone will work with us and cooperate and put a facial covering on. It doesn't have to be a surgical mask. In fact, they'd prefer you leave those for the professionals, and it can be a bandana, a scarf, nothing fancy, but just something that covers your nose and mouth.
Mm-hmm. And we're sort of used to seeing that with the winter cover-ups. It's not that surprise out there, but so people are definitely getting into it. And along those lines, I read it might have been in the Salem News or the Gloucester Times, people are discarding these masks in the weirdest of places. So, I mean, that's another thing the Board of Health wants us to do is to be more careful with our trash.
Absolutely. Our DPS units are telling us they're seeing more and more examples of litter and of gloves and masks just being littered on the side of the road. If you look in the parking lot of a grocery store, people are just dumping, you know, those materials there. It's not only is it disrespectful, it's illegal. Like, you got to be more responsible with those items. You don't want somebody else picking up something that might have a virus on it. And we're going to really try and reinforce that with every message we have, not to leave these items on the side of the road for somebody else to pick up.
I noticed that on the updates, there was a city council meeting on Thursday that was scheduled. Now, is this done by teleconferencing or Zoom meetings?
Yep, all of our public boards are meeting using Zoom, and we've got a public-facing platform so people can call in or participate in the meetings via Zoom video. And there's a methodology if you have a public comment, how to recognize you. It's different. You're seeing a lot many more people participating. A typical city council meeting, you know, you might have a half a dozen folks in the audience if there's nothing really, really hyped up on the agenda. And every meeting we've had, at least 20, 25, 30 participants, and some of the ones that had items that are of interest, we were up in the 60s. Mm-hmm. So the being able to participate, follow a effort of your own home, I think that's actually something that's going to be with us post-COVID, as a way to engage people where they're at. You shouldn't have to come down to City Hall, and now we've got a way to enable that.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. We'll have to see where that does go. The other thing, well, there's many things I want to talk about, but this is sort of like when you're in a sporting event or a marathon or, dare I say it, even in combat, you have this initial surge of energy and adrenaline where everything gets up and running and everybody's volunteering and everybody's doing what you're supposed to do. But now we're in the middle of this siege. I mean, this is 3, 4, 5 weeks down the road. And I'm wondering what food banks are doing, because as I mentioned, everybody was up and running. There were restaurants, contributing and so on. But it's beginning to take its toll. And how are things going with the food banks in Salem?
You know, I think just there's a surge of people who need food, who were working and now not only are not working, don't even have a job to go to. So we've seen an uptick in activity, both at the Salem Food Pantry and Citizens Inn, and they have responded amazingly, right? So the Salem Food Pantry is providing grocery bags of pantry items at our drop-offs for school lunches. Citizens Inn has seen a huge uptick. They are just over the line in Peabody, and they serve both Salem and Peabody residents. Huge uptick in the number of folks who are interested in having either pantry items delivered or who need to have food. So in our schools, here in Salem, we've got 14 grab-and-go breakfast and lunch sites set up, and we're doing over 1,000 meals a day. So, we want to make sure that certainly no child or family goes hungry in these unfortunate times out of your own, nothing to do with your own responsibilities here. You may not have the work or the resources to get food, so these groups are stepping up.
What are you hearing from the business community, Mayor Driscoll, in terms of how the businesses that are closed are doing? Or I don't really know what question to ask, except financially, this is taking a huge hit everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just so disheartening to walk into downtown Salem and see so many places closed up. You know, the windows are dark. It has to be that way now. So we're not, advocating for anything different given the public health crisis. But if you're a business owner, you're not making any money if customers aren't able to come through the door. So I think folks are trying to figure out how to hold on. We're trying to work with them to figure out how to help them hold on and be a partner. We don't want to have COVID-19 end and walk into a city in a central business district that has no activity. So we're trying to figure out what those needs are and how we collectively can support them, whether it's the federal relief packages we're seeing, state aid assistance, and things that the city can do. We're hopeful that we can sort of take the curse off things to the extent that's possible.
What's the status of the personal protective equipment, as far as you know, in the city, in terms of what people need, either at the hospital or at clinics or wherever?
Yeah, I think the hospital is in decent shape. They're still being thoughtful about, rationing equipment. It's not like an opportunity just to have PPE, use it multiple times throughout your shift. They're really trying to be mindful of that. And in the public sector, we've been buoyed by the number of donations that we've received and have done, obviously, additional ordering ourselves. So I think we're in decent shape. Again, your days of supply really matter here.
Mm-hmm.
We're certainly okay for the next foreseeable weeks, and we've got an order in and hope that will come through as we move forward.
Final couple of quick questions here. What's the situation like for those who are either in homeless or need shelters I guess that's it, what's it like for them?
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously a difficult situation if you need to quarantine at home. There's 141 cases or individuals who tested positive for COVID in Salem, and the vast majority of those folks are able to recuperate at home. They have to self-isolate and for a period of time and make sure they're not symptomatic going forward. And then can be sort of released from quarantine. Well, that's really difficult to do if you're homeless, because most of the shelters just don't have the space to allow the distance or the ability to really self-isolate. That's not how a shelter is set up. We've worked collaboratively with the cities of Lynn and Beverly to set up a temporary shelter for any homeless individual who needs to quarantine. These are people who are not COVID positive, but have been in close contact with somebody who was COVID positive. And so we've got, with the assistance of LifeBridge running it, and a whole lot of people coming together, our emergency medical staff at Atlantic Ambulance, police and fire are setting up this shelter to make it available for homeless individuals from our communities.
Do you have a checklist each day, either mentally or actually, where you check off and say, okay, this worked, this didn't, that kind of thing? And, priority-wise, are the things you go through each day and say, okay, this is what we have to do or this is what we've done well?
Yeah, I think it's really important. I'm trying to jot down, a few things a day that help me remember what we want to think about post-COVID, right? Like, this is an interesting thing that would be with us, or for the next time. Hopefully there never is a next time, but, there's rules and experiences that can be applied to other, leadership opportunities going forward on different issues. But I think for the most part, most of the to-do lists end up getting changed, modified, and amended throughout the day because you're reacting to a circumstance. So we've got ourselves divided up into teams. There is a really talented group of staff people that work for the city of Salem that I'm privileged, to be able to work with as department heads. And everyone's, sort of got a team that they're responsible for. and are working through issues. And here's the goal, here's the objective, here's the value system, now go. Right? And they're partnered with nonprofits, with other community partners, businesses and whatnot, to accomplish those goals, whether it's checking in on seniors. We've got a whole group of folks who have called every senior citizen over the age of 70 in Salem to make sure they're aware of resources. We've got another group that's just focused on economic development, recovery and revitalization. What are these programs that currently exist to help with recovery? How are we thinking about revitalization? What can we do to assist? And then the on-the-ground stuff, what's happening with group homes, what's happening with senior care facilities. Do our healthcare professionals need anything? Can we be of assistance there? So there's a lot of balls in the air, but there's some really talented people helping lead these efforts.
Fantastic. All right, I have just two more things. One, the schools. I saw that MCAS has been waived for this year. What's the update on the school system?
Yeah, right now schools are still closed through May 4th. I think if anyone if I was a betting woman, I would suggest that schools are probably going to be closed for much longer than May 4th. But that call has not been officially made. I think we want to understand what the governor's thinking. And I know he's mindful of trying to open schools, but the likelihood of that seems less and less the longer the situation goes on.
Finally, Madam Mayor, is there a routine that you've established now in the last 3 or 4 weeks, or is it pretty much fly-by-wire, as the old astronauts used to say, the test pilots?
We like to say we've definitely, we're building and flying stuff at the same time, for sure.
Yeah.
But there's definitely some routines. Communication's a big piece of it, so we have regular check-ins. You know, there's a rhythm to that. And opportunities to troubleshoot in between if necessary. But trying to keep everybody in the loop among our senior staff is really, really important, because even if you aren't sort of having anything to do with the immediate response within respect of your responsibilities, it's important that you know why this something is important that we need you to do in relationship to this issue. So the regular communication points are key. And then the rest of it is, you know, trying to get out at least to see what's happening on the ground. It was really great, not this past Friday, but the Friday before. I helped serve some senior meals with Root and Jewish Family Services that are working in our senior complexes. Like, super uplifting. It was a rainy, miserable day, Rick, with winds going nuts, gale force winds, crazy. And it was awesome just to get out of City Hall and, like, see some of the activities on the front line, so to speak. And I'm heading to Citizens Inn today. We're providing them some additional support, and I'm looking forward to, like, seeing their operation, thanking the volunteers, and really, you know, kind of buoy your spirits at a time like this.
And it's going to be another rainy, windy, miserable day, too.
So
I think, well, you know, I guess thing, a message about something positive. You just mentioned lifting, and I think we've seen that. John Krasinski has this weekly thing out on Facebook or YouTube, wherever it is, called Some Good News. And you just mentioned some good news. So what's your final message to residents in the area?
Yeah, I will say I'll share some good news. We have been really struggling with an affordable housing issue, as you know, pre-COVID. So that only gets worse as you're in a situation like this. And we were able to place 4 families at the Bates Apartment Residential Complex dorms at Salem State on Friday. These are folks who are either in a motel or in a shelter, a family shelter. In some instances, some of their kids were split up from them. And so it felt great to be able to have people for their Easter holiday have their family together in one place. And, you know, kudos to Salem State for stepping up. These are the apartment-style dorms. They've got a small kitchen. And, you know, it's just, you got to, you know, small victories, right? Small victories. We're counting our blessings for those right now.
That's the new mantra. And that is Salem Mayor Kim Driscoll with MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore.